Joining me now, Arthur Bryant. He is the CEO, the chairman of Public Justice. Arthur, lean into the mic, if you will. Oh, great. Thank you. Chairman of Public Justice at publicjustice.net. Arthur, we've spoken before in the past.
Yes.
And just remind everybody what Public Justice is.
Public Justice is a national public interest law firm created by lawyers all around the country to take on cases that somebody needs to bring because they advance the public good, whether or not they'll make any money. Cases that absolutely are essential to preserving consumers' rights, workers' rights, civil rights, access to the courts, environmental protection, that benefit the public enormously, and somebody needs to bring, whether they'll make money or not.
And do you guys choose your cases based upon its ability to have an impact going forward in terms of changing policy by an industry or the
device
maker or the government?
Precisely. I mean, private law firms have to choose their cases, for the most part, based on whether they can make money off them to keep the doors open. Public Justice takes on cases based on whether they will have an impact, whether they will change the world for the better, whether they'll benefit the public. And the way we do that, without focusing on attorney's fees, is it is a membership organization supported by the public and by lawyers all around the country because of the good that we do.
I want to talk about any of the new cases you're working on, but I want to go back to one case that you told us about, and maybe this was about a year ago. And that was the one your gun manufacturer.
Remington,
excuse me. Remind people about that case. And
sure.
I understand there's been some new revelations too.
Yes.
Since that time.
Well, the litigation involves the Remington 700, which is the single most popular rifle in America. There are 7.5 million of these rifles out around the country. And it turns out Remington has known for decades and simply denied and refused to tell the public that it has an enormous, horrific danger, defect in the rifle itself, which can make it fire when no one pulls the trigger. So imagine you've got a gun in your house, you're out hunting with a gun, whatever it is, and you think it's trusted and reliable, and often it is, but every once in a while, when you don't expect it, the gun fires on its own. We first learned about this when a man named Richard Barber, an NRA member who lives in Montana, ardent gun rights advocate, expert marksman, actually trains people to shoot. He would regularly go off with his wife and two children on hunting trips for the weekend. And that was a family activity. And he comes back from a family activity one weekend, and his wife is emptying the rifles to empty the model of the Remington 700 that they had at that time. You have to take off the safety to empty the rifle. That was not an issue at all. She takes off the safety. Her finger is nowhere near the trigger. The rifle fires on its own, shoots and kills their child. Mm-hmm. They are, of course, devastated. And they actually, relatively quickly find a lawyer who, it turns out, has several such cases. And ultimately comes out the rifle has a huge defect. Barbara ends up, as part of the settlement, he insists, I can't just take money for this. I know what is wrong with this trigger, because he knows all about guns. I insist I work with Remington as part of the settlement to develop a brand new trigger where the defect no longer exists. They agree with him. They do that. And he thinks all is great, as best as it can be. Even though he's lost his son, at least he's prevented it for the future. The new trigger goes into production. And he believed that he had an agreement with Remington that when the new trigger went into production, they would recall and retrofit the 7.5 million guns out there with the unsafe trigger. By the time it goes into production, his lawyer has died, and Remington has changed hands. And the person he had to deal with is no longer the head of Remington. And Remington now denies they ever had any deal and is not recalling or retrofitting anything, and it still insists there's nothing wrong. And so he comes to me at Public Justice and he says, Arthur, I am dedicated to saving other people from having what happened to me happen to them. A friend told me there was a case in Montana federal court like mine 5 years before mine. And I went to the courthouse, and the name on the court file of the case was Sealed versus Sealed. Oh. And there's no way to tell what the case is about. You can't tell what was in the docket. I know Public Justice fights secrecy in the courts. Can you help me get this unsealed? And we did. And what we discovered when we unsealed the court record.
And when did this the unsealing take place?
I'm going to say 2010, maybe. And what we discover is, first, 5 years before his child, Gus Barber, was shot and killed by this rifle, the same thing had happened to another person, another kid.
That must have been just devastating to him.
Absolutely devastating. I mean, they were already devastated by the death of
their
son.
Right, of course.
But now they find out, 5 years before that, the same thing had happened to somebody else. The case had been settled, and it was sealed. And so Rich Barber is now not only furious at Remington, but he's furious about court secrecy. Because he feels if this case had not been sealed, his son would be alive.
Right.
Because he would have known about it.
Right.
So he does two things. First, well, the other thing we find in the court file is it's been going on for decades. There was case after case after case. And these sealed records in this one case, which was called Alexich versus Remington, show it's gone on for decades.
Oh.
So Rich decides, first, he can't abide by court secrecy. He's got to stop it. He actually goes to the Montana State Legislature and gets them to pass an anti-court secrecy bill named after his son, the Gus Barber Anti-Secrecy Act in Montana. Second, he takes the documents to CNBC. CNBC does a special called Remington Under Fire. People can find it on the web, Remington Under Fire, and it shows what Remington knew and what, you know, when it knew it. But Remington responds not by saying, okay, the gun is defective, we admit it. We will recall and retrofit these rifles. Instead, what it does is it actually spends over $2 million developing a counter documentary that says, CNBC doesn't know what it's talking about, there's nothing wrong with this gun. Yes, we've settled these cases. Some we've won, some we've lost some. We've sealed things. But we've tested this gun internally. We've paid experts to test this gun. And we can't get it to fire unless somebody pulls the trigger. Which tells us the gun is not defective. There is something that the owners are doing with it that is causing it to fire. And they refuse to recall it. That's their story. You know, there's nothing wrong. Rich Barber knows this isn't true. He was involved in the whole thing. So he becomes an expert witness in cases. And with the internet, he can make it clear and expose. And he starts getting called by people who've lost family members or things. He becomes an expert witness. And he gets access to Remington's documents in case after case. They're all under a secrecy order or a protective order in each case. But he, as an expert witness, can see them. He just can't share them with anybody. But he learns more and more about what Remington knew and when he knew it. And Flash, I don't hear from him for years. And then he calls me because a national class action was filed with Rich Barber's urging. A proposed settlement was reached that would make anybody who owns one of these 7.5 million guns, if they file a claim, if the settlement is approved, they could get the gun retrofit for free with a safe trigger. But all the documents are still secret.
Give me a sense of when this was.
This was 2 years ago.
Okay.
So a proposed settlement is reached 2 years ago. Rich Barber calls me, and he says, tells me all this. And he says, Arthur, a proposed settlement has been reached. Anybody who can make a claim will get a free retrofit of their trigger. And I said, well, congratulations. This is great. He said, no, it's not great. And I said, well, why? And he said, well, first, I'm no longer working with the lawyers who brought the class action, which I wanted them to bring, because they went to the judge and asked for a secrecy order, sealing some of the documents. And I told them I could not abide by that at all.
Why did that?
Because Remington insisted on it.
Okay. So this was them coming to a deal, essentially.
They had a stipulated, agreed protective order they were going to the judge with. And Rich Barber said, if you're doing that, I'm out of here. I'm not being any part of this. He told me what the judge did was the judge took one look at this proposed stipulated order and said, look, these guns are supposed to be horrifically dangerous. Under the law, if you prove there is good cause for secrecy, I will grant the order. But all you've given me right now is an agreement. There's no good cause proven.
There's no compelling reason for the state to keep this secret.
Right. There's no justification at all given yet to keep it secret. And so your motion is denied. If you have good cause for secrecy, come back. But it's denied, right? But Rich Barber says, but the problem is all the documents are still secret from protective orders in other cases, you know, for brought before this. And he said, so I can't abide by this. He said, I am petrified the settlement is going to get approved. And what Remington is going to do is Remington's going to go to the public and say, he said the other part of the settlement is Remington is allowed to continue to deny there's any problem.
So they can just say, hey, you know, your thing may get rusty or creaky or whatever it is, and so we're going to give you an upgrade, not essentially express to the public the genuine danger that exists.
Well, yes. And what Rich Barber's bigger fear is that they can go with a public with a big PR campaign that says, there's nothing wrong with this gun at all. A class action was brought. As a business matter, we settled it to get rid of these class action lawyers and get rid of these claims. Yes, you can file a claim and get a free trigger retrofit if you want, but it's entirely unnecessary. No one needs to do it. That's his fear.
Right.
And it's multiplied enormously because all the documents are still secret. So nobody knows the truth. So he comes, I said, well, all right, so I see why you're upset. Why are you calling me? And he says, well, I've gone to Remington and told them I have all their documents. They're under a secrecy order, but I have them. And if they don't make them public and admit their gun is defective, I, Rich Barber, am going to make them public. And they've told me, if you do that, we will sue you for contempt of court all over this country and make you bankrupt and ruin your life. And he said, Arthur, you know me. I don't care. My son is dead. I can't let this keep happening to everybody else, but I am hoping you can find me a way to not have to be sued for contempt of court all over the country. And I said, I think I can. And I called up the lawyer during the class action, and I said, look, you want as many claims made as possible made in this case. So does Rich Barber, even though you're at loggerheads on, you know, the secrecy issue. Here's what you need to do. You need to go to Remington and say, you know that judge denied their motion for a protective order on stipulation. We, the class lawyers, are going to go back to the judge and ask him to clarify his order and say, these documents are now public. There's no basis for any secrecy anywhere unless you, Remington, will agree to make them public without us having to do that. And that's what you need to do. Go to them and make Remington agree. And he said, why would Remington agree to that? You know? And I said, and why would we do it? And I said, because if you don't do that, public justice is going to come into the case. We're going to move to do that. We're going to move to do it on behalf of our new client, the Center for Investigative Reporting. It's going to be all over the newspapers. We come into court, you're going to have to support us on behalf of the gun owners. You would want the documents unsealed. What is Remington going to say? We've agreed that every gun owner in America can get the trigger retrofit. They just can't know what's wrong with it. They're going to lose, and they're going to lose big time in the public hearing in front of the court, or they can just agree. And so the day before the deadline for objecting to the settlement, Remington agreed that every document in every Remington rifle case in every state and federal court in the country was now open to the public.
Wow.
And so Richard Barber was free to go and tell the public, but he was also free to give them to us. And what the documents showed was that Remington had, in fact, tested these rifles repeatedly. It had paid experts to test these rifles repeatedly. And whenever they did the tests, the guns fired when no one pulled the trigger.
Jesus.
And they'd been lying the whole time, and they'd known it. And they had repeatedly considered doing recalls and decided it cost too much money, even though people were still dying. And, of course, we were astonished. The documents, we went back to CNBC. Remember, Remington had said CNBC didn't know what it's talking about.
Now, this is what, 2 years ago now?
Yes, okay. This was, yes. Actually, yes, a year ago they actually went big with it.
Okay, a year.
December 2015, sorry.
Okay.
So, year and a half at this point. And CNBC sees these documents, and it does an entirely new detailed investigative report. It goes up on the web, www.remingtonunderfire. Go there, you'll find all this stuff. And it documents, but they've changed the title now. The new one is called Remington Under Fire, The Reckoning. Because Remington had denied it,
right,
and said we've tested it and didn't happen, and they were just lying. So they go public with this, CNBC. Within a week, the judge cancels the hearing to approve the settlement and says, there's 7.5 million of these guns out there. I can't imagine why anyone who knew about this settlement wouldn't submit their claim and get a free retrofit. And as of now, fewer than 2,300 people have filed claims. That tells me it's not good enough. The notice is not good enough. Not enough people know. I need a new notice plan. So a new notice plan is developed.
And a notice plan is just find the owners of these guns, make sure that they're aware of this situation.
Yes.
Okay.
Make sure they know there's a danger to these guns. They can avoid the danger by making a claim. The problem is even the new notice plan doesn't emphasize the danger of the guns because it's a settlement and Remington won't agree to that piece of it. But they do a notice plan. They get the notice now. There now was over 10 times as many claims were filed. Still a small percentage by far. But in the meantime, when they won't put the documents, make them public, yes, they've said the public can see them, but how?
Right.
Public Justice creates its own website, www.remingtondocuments.com, where we put the key documents up on the web with PowerPoints showing exactly how dangerous these are, just how horrifically Remington has acted, and why everyone needs to file a claim if they can. We put that up on the web. And ultimately, 60 Minutes does a report on it. So within the past 3 or 4 months, I think it was February, it might have been March, 60 Minutes, if you go on the web and go look up 60 Minutes Remington 700, you will find their special report on the Remington 700. And to show you about the impact just making things public can have, the program focuses primarily on the case involving Zachary Stringer. Zachary Stringer was, at that point, in prison in Mississippi. The reason he was in prison was when he was 14 years old, he was holding a Remington 700 rifle. It fires and kills his 11-year-old brother. Zachary had sworn, I didn't pull the trigger. I heard a click, and the gun fired on its own. No one believed him, including his own father.
Jesus.
He is tried for murder. He is ultimately convicted in a criminal trial. The Mississippi Supreme Court upholds the conviction. He's been in prison for 5 years, and his father had testified against him because guns don't fire if you don't pull the trigger. And his father, Roger Stringer, learns of what we've uncovered and exposed, and of course is just horrified and devastated. And ultimately, Zachary is now out of prison. But 60 Minutes does the feature on it, and you're sitting there thinking, what else has happened? Who else has not only died but is in prison because Remington didn't act responsibly? It maximized profits literally over people's lives and safety and used court secrecy to keep it all hidden. And so that's the latest development in terms of, you know, what we know. People should absolutely, everybody needs to know how dangerous these guns are. Go to www.remingtondocuments.com. The website will show in detail. It will also show how to make a claim to get this retrofit for free. To be clear, the settlement was approved. The judge expressed grave concern that not many people still had filed claims, but said he didn't know that how much better could be done. There is an appeal. There are people who have objected and are appealing that to the Court of Appeals. So the settlement technically hasn't gone into effect yet, but people can file claims now, and anybody who can needs to stop using these rifles and file claims to make sure they don't harm themselves, their loved ones, innocent third parties, etc.
Are there, you know, just unbelievable.
Right.
Are there documents like where people email or write to each other in Remington saying like, these are the results of the test, they're right, we know about this death, like I'm just curious how the human beings in that company, what their state of mind is when they are making these decisions, where they, you know, like, because it's just beyond comprehension.
Well, sadly, it's astonishing, but it's not beyond comprehension. I mean, we have seen examples of this ever since, you know, decades ago with the Ford Pinto, where they actually, there was a memo in that case where there was a financial analysis of how much it would cost the company to do a recall versus how much it would cost the company to simply pay for all the deaths of the people who were going to die. And they decided if they want to maximize profits, they should let the people die. Now, that was in the Pinto case.
Right.
There's no memo like that in the Remington case, but there are documents showing how many claims are being made and how much, you know, they did an analysis of the recall, and ultimately they just decided financially it was not worth the money to do the recall, even though it was clear they knew there was a defect, they know the gun was firing without trigger pulls, they knew people were being shot and even killed, and they decided not to spend the money on a recall. It is jaw-dropping, and what makes it even more disturbing is that in the Ford Pinto case, there is a federal regulatory agency, the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, that ultimately can order a recall, which it did.
Right.
In the area of guns, there is no federal agency. So because of the NRA and because of the Second Amendment and because of Congress, and so what that means is all of the responsibility, none of this relieves the car manufacturers or the gun manufacturers of responsibility, but it means in the gun area, all of the responsibility is on the manufacturer. It has to do the right thing. Ideally, you would like to think, because they're decent human beings, but what we uncovered, for example, was the defect in this trigger was called, it was the Walker Fire Control. It was named after the designer of the trigger. Mike Walker in the 1940s designed it. It was a great design in a bunch of ways. It had this defect. And within 6 months of designing it, Mike Walker had identified the defect and urged them to do it differently, and they didn't do it.
Jeez.
It really is astonishing, and it's a really horrific case of a nationally prominent company consciously choosing to sacrifice people's lives to maximize its profits. And it's still happening. People are still getting shot. People are still dying. And even after 60 Minutes, even after all the documents we've put on the web, Remington is still insisting there's nothing wrong with this rifle when they know that's not true.
Crazy.
Yes.
Just crazy. I was going to ask you if there's another case, but I mean, like that, you know, it's devastating.
Totally. Well, one thing I will add is this is a perfect example of the kind of critically important work that public justice does that doesn't generate a penny. So we've gotten all these documents unsealed. You don't make attorney's fees for that. We created an entire website to notify the public. You know, you don't get any money for doing that. You know, we ended up getting Roger Stringer to learn about this. Zachary's now out of prison. I don't want to claim, you know, personal credit or anything for that. But what I'm saying is all this came from public justice's work in significant part. What makes our work possible is people joining as members or giving contributions. Our website is www.publicjustice.net. Anybody listening who isn't a member or a contributor, we hope you will give as little or as much as you can. It's all tax deductible. But it's what allows us to expose outrages like this and correct them.
Well, I really appreciate the work you do. The story about the father is just...
Right.
We will put that on the site at majority.fm.
Great.
Arthur Ryan, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.